in a while, every once in a while, things just come together at literally the last second, and I think that might have been it for me today. Like, I'm literally just pulling the show notes up right now. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. My name, as usual, is Sam, and with me today is Becky. How you doing, Becky?
I'm doing great, Sam.
And Wes, how you doing?
Lovely, thank you.
And you haven't been on in a while. What you been up to?
I have been staying really busy. My local group, we went out camping for the weekend. We've just been having a lot of good old times.
Sounds good. I have really injured myself this week.
I have, as
you may have heard in the, you know, when the show ends on the live stream, I've been growing hops in my front yard, in this former, former water fountain feature thing. And I was out there this morning or this week, and I rolled my ankle. And the thing is, when you roll your ankle and fall down when you live on a hill, like hilltop, you don't stop for a while. And so now my ankle's fine, but I've done some really horrible things to my ribs. I'm not really quite sure what's going on there.
Little Jack and Jill tumbling moment there.
Just a little bit. So I thought I'd open up with an email. This is an interesting one. As you guys know, radio is a bit of a hobby for me, and we just got this message today. This is from Carl in St. Louis, who says, he's been running Ask an Atheist for several months, Sunday, 6 p.m., and he loves the show, on his Part 15 100 milliwatt radio station in St. Louis.
Rock on, Carl.
Yeah. it's just one of those things that I really like. There's a micro broadcasting hobby out there, and as you know, I really like broadcasting and do radio show stuff. But every once in a while, I'll get an email saying, "Hey, I got this little project radio station thing that I work on."
So, how many people can actually hear a broadcast from Part 15 station?
I don't know, five.
Okay, yeah, that's five more than before.
It usually covers a mile. I've tried to do it here; it didn't work out so great. So, anyway, it is also a very, very strange week this week. So let's start local. Let's start local. Despite a study published in July that concluded that hairs from supposed Bigfoot creatures were those of known mammals, Northwest Washingtonians John Ray and Rob Parker continue to search Snohomish County forests for signs of Sasquatch. Meanwhile, Ninja Turtles and Transformers actress Megan Fox recently told People magazine that she's fairly certain if she were ever to be taken out on an expedition, she would be the one to find Bigfoot.
Oh man, April O'Neil is no longer trying to defeat the Shredder and defend the Ninja Turtles. She's also hunting Bigfoot.
Is she? I didn't know she was in the Ninja Turtles movie.
Yes, she is.
And she's April O'Neil, of course.
Yes.
Okay, well, Michael Bay, what can you say?
I actually have a feeling that she'd be kind of like, you know, the really nice, innocent, pure lady that would actually be able to, you know, lure out a unicorn. And same with Bigfoot.
Now, would it be Big Feet?
I'm not touching that. Hey, what?
I'm not sure if it's Bigfoots, the plural. If there's just one, would it be Bigfoot, but multiple would be Big Feet? Or Bigfoots.
Bigfootipodes?
I don't know.
Hi, Dan.
Sasquatches. Sasquatchim. Yeah, so here's the thing, though. These two guys, they've been hunting Bigfoot in... they've been hunting the ape, the great ape, the elusive, cryptoid great ape.
Yes, Bigfoot. Got it.
In Snohomish County, in these forests, since like 1978, each of them is convinced that they have seen Bigfoot. One of them said, "Yes, I saw Bigfoot, and he was fishing, and he was on a river, and he let out a big growl." That sounds awful bear-like.
Isn't that a Slim Jim commercial?
It might be. Okay. Might be. Also, the cool thing about this study was a meta-analysis of a lot of samples dating back, to 50 years prior. And from different areas of the world of people that have Bigfoot mythologies and saying, let's actually do a DNA analysis on these samples. Oh, look, this one's from a wolf. This one's from a bear. This one is from another extant mammal that we all know about.
Yeah.
None of them have had any kind of ape-like DNA.
Okay.
Yet. The myth persists.
We haven't done a cryptozoology episode in a while. I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah. That could be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the pseudosciences that I find actually pretty fascinating.
I am, though, pretty aware that these guys, John Ray and Rob Parker, they are not of the camp, the Bigfootologist camp, that believes that Bigfoot is a transdimensional psychic creature.
Yeah. So he's not Bigfoot from Transplane 74.
Yeah. They just think that he's a scared, shy, ape-like mammal. hanging right. out in Snohomish County.
That's never
at Mount Baker or
that's
something.
That's never really been caught on camera. No bodies have been found.
Yeah. So, Sam, are you more curious about the cryptozoology, the angles of the people or the creatures more?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the creatures that people come up with are always interesting because, you know, they're psychologically interesting because they speak to what's going on at the time, mm-hmm. But also how people can build these fantastic stories that they believe in 100% out of basically zero evidence. I find that really interesting, too.
Oh, yeah.
From a perhaps a literature standpoint, I think would be the best way to describe that.
Well, on the line of Bigfoot, there was an interesting exam question recently for New York State students saying which one would actually provide evidence supporting the existence of Bigfoot or a Sasquatch. And that was an interesting thing because it's actually getting young people to look at, hey, what is credible evidence? And some of the wrong answers were so-and-so from prestigious university said that it had ape-like characteristics, which would say, no, that would be the wrong answer because that would be an argument to authority. So there's some good useful teaching tools when it comes to cryptozoology. That I tend to like.
Do you use cryptozoology in just the science classes or do you use it in language as well?
I haven't. Actually, the last time we looked at cryptozoology is when we looked at cultural storytelling and cultural myths. So we look at La Llorona, we look at Cucuy,
Chupacabra.
A little bit of Chupacabra and the Cucuy, and sort of like each culture has their own scary boogeyman type thing. And that's how we do it in a language classroom.
Right. Well, speaking of, weird ape-like creatures. The Kentucky Tourism Department Finance Board unanimously approved an $18 million tax break for the Ark Encounter theme park being built by Answers in Genesis and Creation Museum founder Ken Ham. Board Chairman Keith Williams said the tax break was approved because the tourism money the theme park will potentially bring to the state and wasn't at all religiously motivated. AIG Vice President Mike Zovoth called the incentives purely an economic issue and considered it no different than state-sponsored artistic ventures. Final approval from the board is pending.
So when it suits you, it's an artistic venture and an economic venture. When it suits you not, it is clearly God's glory,
and
a theme park built to glorify God's creation.
Yeah.
You can't have it both ways, Mr. Ham. Mr. Ham, well, not Dr. Ham.
chances are he probably will, given that this is Kentucky. He very well, the truth is, this isn't a church. It's not a tax-free, group. It's not a non. It's certainly not
they're
a nonprofit.
For profit.
Yeah, and they're getting $18 million just tax breaks, and they're just basically getting free money.
I think all religions should go out to Kentucky because there's some missed opportunities.
Yes, leave here, go to Kentucky.
Totally, because they're giving out money for theme parks. So
yeah.
the Buddhists, the everybody should get in on this.
Hey, we've got some longtime listeners in Kentucky. We don't want to knock them too badly, and we don't want to inundate
them. I'm not knocking people who live in Kentucky. I'm suggesting that maybe religions go to Kentucky.
Yeah, well.
And that's not like a euphemism for some sort of insult.
If it were something like Epcot Center, where it would be learning about different cultures, that's one thing. But this is a museum and a theme park purporting that Noah's Ark actually happened.
Right. It's a theme park that puts forward thoroughly discredited history, thoroughly discredited science. It's definitely thematic, and it's a bit parky looking, but that's about the only thing true about it. Everything else is an absolute lie in order to buttress this entire dogmatic concept that these people would like everyone to believe, and these people believe that the government should pay for, that it should be the government's job to make us believe this crap.
Well, they're going to have an ark, but they're also going to have a Tower of Babel, and I'm just wondering how much that's going to look like the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Are they building a Tower of Babel?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's a biblical theme park.
I'm guessing
then.
It's going to be a scale model because isn't it supposed to be like really tall? I don't know.
To the clouds.
Okay. Well, that's
to the heavens.
Well, on a foggy day around here, that's not really 4 inches. Right. So, however, there's more. So they're building this Ark Encounter thing, and they need people to staff it. Ark Encounter, the Noah's Ark theme park being built by Answers in Genesis founder Ken Ham, posted job openings that are only available to Christians.
What?
The for-profit theme park posted jobs on the AAG website, which demand applicants agree with the organization's statement of faith, as well as refrain from sexual immorality, which includes homosexuality, fornication, and even watching porn. Ken Ham has expressed that the job postings are for the nonprofit Answers in Genesis group, not Ark Encounter, and they're therefore are not subject to the anti-discrimination laws.
Again, which way is it, Mr. Ham?
Yeah, exactly. When he needs to play by the rules, it's a nonprofit. But when he wants, when he needs free money, it's a theme park and not at all religious.
Well, Answers in Genesis, they definitely need somebody to design up a theme park, you know, in case they ever want to implement one. But right now, it's definitely not, it has nothing to do with the theme park that they're building.
Well, it's job openings at the theme park, only available to Christians. Running the theme park, I'm assuming, doing theme parky things.
I think it's for something like CAD or, you know, yeah, if you're going to have a dinosaur that's, you know, an animatronic thing or something like that.
Oh, and so, yeah, all of that. And then you find out that, but you're not really working for the theme park. You're working for, you know, Answers in Genesis, which is a nonprofit, so that they can discriminate. On the other hand, would you guys really want to work at this place? I know I wouldn't.
Hey, there's a lot of atheists that get their money, you know, producing Christian music, making Christmas, movies, all sorts of things. Hey, we've had listeners that, even as an atheist, were involved in Christian video games.
But that's far away from working for Ken Ham.
I'm sure they have wonderful benefits working there.
Yeah. We should see Wes's face here. Here's the thing also, is that the job is purportedly only open to Christians, but not even all Christians, hardly, you know, any Christians would actually qualify under these strictures. You have to, agree to refrain from sexual immorality, but it's the kind of sexual immorality that
defined
Ken
by Ken Ham.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Which means anything, other than a husband and wife in a marriage, for procreative purposes. I mean, when you get down to it, hardly any Christians would qualify for this particular thing.
Well, yeah. Well, they would say Christians only, but specifically their kind of Christians.
Yes.
And this is the problem when you want to say, oh, it's open to all religious people or it's open to all Christians. But the minute you start talking about policy or you start talking about ideology, the definition for Christian shrinks precipitously. It becomes a smaller and smaller and smaller group of people. So we're going to leave Kentucky now.
Travel
a little farther south to the state of Florida. We have an email from Florida, and this is Bob, who writes, I'd like to hear your thoughts on the idea of religion owning marriage. Is there anything in the Bible that supports this?
Bob, even if there were something in the Bible that supports it, it doesn't actually lead to religion owning marriage.
Yeah, I wouldn't know if it's in the Bible or not. I'm assuming our Bob, if he were here, he might have something to say about that. But whether or not there's anything in the, you know, in the Bible about
in any of the Bibles,
yeah, doesn't really matter to me that much.
It doesn't. Just like you can't use the Bible to support the existence of a historical Jesus or the existence of God, you can't use the Bible to define its own things that it wants to, you know, define. You would need something outside of that. And there are certainly policies in different countries. But as a whole, does religion own marriage? Not any of our marriages.
I still see it as a completely secular thing anyways.
Well, this is how we've had this conversation with a bunch of people. I think the first time out was actually with Alain de Botton when he was still sane. Was that the way religion gains control is by controlling your life, controlling big moments in your life. Mm-hmm. Religion wants to control what happens to you when you're born. Religion wants to control what happens to you after you die, or when you die, including after you die. But all the major stuff, marriage is one of them. So if you know, humans are forming couples and they want to do this, you know, they want to have a ceremony when they do it, at some point, somebody decided that should be a religious thing. It's just yet another method of control. I mean, this is where I get kind of negative about just the very concept of religion. There are nice religious people out there, of course, but it just seems to me if you want to control a population of people, I can find no more effective method than the way religion just happens to be doing it right now, purely by accident, I'm sure.
there are some really interesting things about religion and its involvement in marriage, and that's in some of the more liberal and progressive religious denominations are actually pushing for marriage equality between LGBT people and saying, hey, within our denomination, it is a sacred right to be able to unite two individuals in marriage, regardless of their genders.
But why did they have the responsibility or the permission to say whether or not it's good to begin with? That would be my question.
True. I would say just like any group of people, but as long as it doesn't, as long as it's only governing your group of people and no one else's. I mean, that's what it's like living in a pluralistic society. I guess you would have also sympathy for the people within that group that are being thereby controlled by their religion.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I see the picture that you're trying to paint here, you know, about how religious people can be nice. Granted, I'm with you there. However, the idea that religion owns marriage, or that religion owns funerals, or that religion owns, you know, birth ceremonies, or any of that stuff, is exactly the thing that we are fighting in the atheism visibility movement, because we don't want religious people who think they, you know, thinking that they have some way to tell us what to do about our own lives. When we don't believe what they say, they don't believe what we say, but they still think they have this control.
I would love to see it just be justices of the peace give the ceremonies, and then if you want to actually have your religious ceremony on top of that, fine, but you know, have your little ceremony, sign your paperwork, call it good at the courthouse,
or get married in a brewery.
Ow.
I can't think of anybody who would do that. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. We're going to go to the break. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about Florida and go back into humanistic convocations and the like.
Maggie used to say, man, never stop fighting. Don't ever give up. And as I look out across this crowd right now, I'll tell you, I can see her face in every one of you. I can hear her voice every time you speak.
His name was Matthew Hoffman, the candidate. And though he didn't understand it now, years of inaction, deceit, and fear had formed a cancer. And now it would destroy him. AnnexRadio.com.
Psst. Hey, I know that we all slip up sometimes. But not knowing your STD status at all, not a smart move. Did you know that STDs can even be transmitted through oral sex alone? Yeah, worried yet? With stdhometestkit.com, everything you need is shipped to you, where you'll have results in the comfort of your own home in less than 10 minutes. Be certain of your status with stdhometestkit.com.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of free thinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. Come celebrate life with us. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking and hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. You can become a member of the Humanists of Washington at humanistsofwashington.org. You'll get our quarterly publication, The Secular Humanist Press. Check out meetup.com, where you can be part of our monthly Seattle dinner and our Heathens Do It Better breakfast. humanistsofwashington.org.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists, with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
Thank you.
welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. We've got some people to thank this week. I'd like to thank Scott from Langley, British Columbia, Rick from Elma, Washington, who wants us to do a meetup down in Olympia, which we've been promising that one for a while. I think we really should do that sometime soon.
Yeah, shout out to you down in Olympia in Elma, which is further away, and yeah. It's really nice to hear from you.
And Richard from the actual Kent in the UK, how you doing? Good to hear from you again.
Thank you guys so much for your contributions to Ask an Atheist.
Thank you very much. If you would like to meet Peggy's challenge, which is Peggy's challenge to the listeners of Ask an Atheist, to help us keep the lights on, you can go to askanatheist.tv and click on the yellow button on the right-hand side. Every dollar you give to us goes directly towards show production. So we're talking about meetups, and I think maybe I should take a few minutes to talk about that. If you have noticed, we no longer talk about where we're getting together after the show.
But we still get together after each show.
But we still definitely get together after the show. Now, the reason why we do that is because we're now on the air in a number of states. Michigan, there are more coming. In a number of places where it'd be a bit of a drive to come to a post show, and we don't like taunting people. So, but we still definitely get together. If you would like to find out where and get emails and get updated about where we're meeting every Sunday, you can go to Meetup and join the Humanists of Washington Secular South Sound Meetup, and that's where we've been posting all of our post shows. And then you'll get emailed and updated, and you can stop Facebooking me.
And texting Becky
yeah.
during the show.
Seriously.
Where's post show?
Yeah, when we
Where
don't
are
mention
we meeting?
When we don't mention post show, our phones go nuts after the show ends. So I don't mind telling you guys. So if you don't have your email handy, you know, by all means, but ask on the Facebook page or wherever. But if you like to keep up on that, we're gonna be moving away from talking about that here on the show. But it'll all be on the meetup.
But something that's really, really fun is that when we have visitors out of town, you know, people that are coming through the Seattle-Tacoma area, you can go to that meetup page and see where we are if you want to meet up with us. It's always a pleasure and a total treat to meet up with folks, with listeners from around the country and even from Kent in the UK.
So we mentioned Peggy's challenge and having to raise some funds. Well, there are some big things coming for Ask an Atheist in the next few months, and we need to raise some finances to get that done. So we're going to do probably one more of our ever-popular stream-a-thons.
Woohoo!
If you're not familiar with this, it's where we sit in front of a camera for 24 hours and, try and be entertaining as a form of begging. I won't lie.
We take requests for read-alouds.
Yeah.
We'll read from creationist literature in our best in interpretive voices.
Yeah, we will delve into my library of insanity and other such things.
And then it gets interesting.
So we're going to be having another one of those. It'll be probably noon, Saturday, September 20th to noon Sunday, September 21st. So that's instead of Friday to Saturday, which is how we've normally done it, this is going to be Saturday to Sunday. We're not sure if we're going to be live on the air that Sunday or not, because I'll have been up for a very long time because I generally have to stay up for the whole thing. But other people will be rested, so we'll see where that goes and how that happens. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I think that that one of our cast members had a good point where we say, hey, we may have been inclined to use profanity for the previous 23 hours. Not so sure that the FCC is going to like that if we slip up in that hour 24.
That's a fair point.
Yep.
So that's a strong vote in favor of pre-recording that week.
Perhaps.
Okay.
That might be actually the slowest show ever done, though. Just dragging.
But, hey. Show. Hello, radio. Yeah.
Fighting to not pass out.
Well, we now return to Florida. The Brevard County Commission in Florida voted unanimously to limit invocations to faith-based groups.
What?
The commission had recently received a request from the Central Florida Freethought community to deliver an invocation. The vote made it county policy to limit invocations to faith-based groups. The recent Greece versus Galloway decision by the Supreme Court allows for invocations so long as equal access is given to all groups. So it's we have this court thing that says equal access must be given, but we can't have invocations, and you immediately turn around and limit it to people.
Equal access for everyone who is less equal.
So I guess maybe Brevard County just thinks it has too much money and is looking and just wants to get into some sort of pointless lawsuits just for the purposes of losing money, because that's how this is going to
end. I have heard of no county in Florida that is having an excess of money.
Yeah. Well, we've got somebody to talk with it about us. Joseph Richardson is a member of the Central Florida Freethought community who spoke to the Brevard County Commission in opposition of their ban on secular invocations. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. So the head of your group, the Central Florida Freethought, sought to give an invocation at the Brevard County Commission meeting, much like freethinkers have around the country and religious people have been doing for forever and a day. How were you informed that the invitation wouldn't be extended to you?
Well, we actually haven't been officially informed yet. The vote this past week was with respect to a draft letter, whether or not to send the draft letter as a response to the two requests that had been made by Central Florida Freethought Community.
Two requests. So was the first one just ignored?
That's correct, yeah. The first one, they had no response to that, and so I think it was about 2 months later, we sent another one that was a little more strongly worded with a little more legalese in it and case law references and things like that. And so then they decided they needed to respond.
So. I'm curious, do you think that the Grease v. Galloway ruling allows municipalities to actually restrict invocations to members of the faith community?
Well, I don't think so, but, that's ultimately not up to me to decide. I mean, that's what the Brevard County Commission seems to think as well. In fact, during the discussion, one of the commissioners asked the county lawyer whether or not he agreed with this assessment, and of course he was going to agree. He was the one who drafted the letter, but he stated for the record that he thought that our interpretation of the Grease decision was incorrect. So.
That's really incredible, and I just want to go back for a moment. So there's a letter being drafted, and there was a public discussion about the letter, but the letter hasn't actually been sent to you, and you haven't officially been informed that they're saying, na-na-na-boo-boo, you can't come to our meeting and give an invocation. Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct, yep.
I guess you gotta love how the machine of politics, I guess? I'm not sure.
This is a bureaucratic existentialist novel right here. Did they give you, at this discussion, did they try to give a reason for why they thought they could limit it only to faith groups? Did they have any sort of justification, or they just decided this was the way they were going to go?
I can tell you a little bit more about my perspective because, I did actually speak after David Williamson did. And when I read the letter, I looked at it and I thought, okay, here's what they're saying. They're saying that there's two reasons that they seem to have in the letter. One was that you had to have some sort of spiritual authority in order to give an invocation. And I guess because they think it has to be a prayer. I spoke to that and said, obviously, it doesn't have to be a prayer. You don't have to have spiritual authority because here's all these other municipalities that have given invocations, given secular invocations, and they haven't been prayers. And then my second point suddenly escapes me.
On that spiritual authority note, I mean, yes. Would there be faith groups that wouldn't necessarily have a spiritual authority in their interpretation? I mean, I'm thinking of maybe, a New Age or Wiccan collective or circle. I'm thinking humanistic Judaism that certainly has a community that's based on a cultural, heritage and a religious heritage, but doesn't as a whole believe or ascribe to a higher authority or spiritual authority. Would this effectively bar them as well?
That's a good question. I don't think it's clear. During the discussion, one of the other people that spoke, Dave Kearns, he's actually a candidate for state senate. And we were very impressed, actually, that he spoke because, I mean, you know how it is outing yourself as an agnostic or an atheist in political circles. But when he spoke, Commissioner Infantini responded that initially she responded, I don't know what your problem is because we will go anywhere to search for people to do these invocations. And then she immediately corrected herself and said, well, not anywhere. And it's really funny to watch the video. If you get a chance, you should do that. It's only, the whole session was only about 20 minutes long.
Okay. Because last time I was on, I was at a county session. It went on for like, what, 2 hours and 45 minutes?
Yeah, some of those can get really intense.
Yeah, the entire meeting was longer, but the just the section on this letter was just about 20 minutes. So.
Right. So some citizens claim that public comment time would suffice for whatever atheists have to say during an invocation.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that was actually my second point in my speech to the commission. They seem to think, I'm not even sure what to say about this. They seem to think that we're looking for a way to express our opinions, our viewpoints, or whatever. And of course, that's not exactly what we're asking for. We're asking for full participation in government activities, including the invocations.
Right.
And it was not clear to me at all how they made that connection. I think they simply just don't understand what's being asked. So.
Right. Is anybody planning on taking advantage of that, or are you guys going to leave that alone until this gets sorted?
You mean take advantage of the public comment section of the meeting?
Yeah.
There, as far as I know, there hasn't been any discussion of that. Of course, we understand that that's open and, you know, can be used at any time. They're not trying to block that.
Right.
And, of course, that doesn't have anything to do with the Greece decision. So.
Of course. So we're in this existentialist nightmare where this letter may or may not exist. But you're expecting to receive it. And USA Today reported that you guys are in legal consultation over this. Can you what can you tell us about that, I guess? Because I know legal stuff, you kind of have to be secretive here and there. But where are you planning?
Yeah, well, I don't have to be secretive about that because I'm not involved in that part.
Okay.
So I really don't know anything about what's going on there. I don't expect that they would do anything before they officially receive the letter anyway.
Right.
I'm also curious about the five commissioners. They all voted against you, but have you actually got any support from any of the other officials?
Not that I know of. Only, you know, there were five people who spoke at the meeting. Four of them spoke against, myself included, and David Williamson with the CFFC. And one person spoke in favor of the commission's actions. So I don't know of any other public officials in Brevard that support this.
Brevard, got it.
So I'm impressed by this candidate Kearns, who you said is running as a candidate, is not yet an elected official, but came out on the record by saying, you know, I'm not in favor of this letter, I guess. Do you have any sort of sense about whether that has hurt his candidacy or helped his candidacy? Has he gotten any blowback from that? Do you know?
Again, not that I know of. I haven't had any contact with him since the meeting or followed up with him in any way. So that would be interesting to see, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah. There's been, news and periodical literature lately, some comparisons between politicians in the U.S. and politicians in the U.K., where in the U.K. you have sitting elected officials that serve on a humanist caucus, and it would just be unthinkable in the U.S. It's heartening to hear that in little pockets around the country, you do have people that, regardless of whatever their political leanings are okay with being an atheist and okay with stating that, or at least advocating for, you know, for the rights of full participation of atheists and agnostics.
Yeah, it was very heartening to see him there and to hear his speech. I kind of threw around the idea afterwards with somebody else that I just wondered if maybe there were one of those commissioners who would have voted the other way had not the overall sentiment been as strong as it was. There were three of them, I think, spoke, not so favorably toward our position. But it's just one of those things, you know, it wouldn't do them any good to vote against it if they're going to lose anyway, and it could hurt them. if they did, you know, for a re-election bid. So.
Absolutely, and at a time when people are sort of preparing their re-election bids, then it's one of those tense times where I don't know how much support freethinkers or any sort of minority group could necessarily get if it's unfavorable. One thing I noticed, Richard, is that or Joseph, excuse me, is that this seems to be part of a campaign to petition as many municipalities for inclusion as possible. What have some of your successes been on this front?
Yeah, thanks for asking. Yeah, this is it is part of an organized campaign by our organization to try and bring secular invocations to as many municipalities as we can. We have had, since the Greece decision, we've had about a half a dozen invocations given at municipalities around the area, and we have five or six more scheduled, which you can see on our Facebook page at CFL Free Thought. We've sent out a total of about 20 letters, I think. So we're still waiting for responses for some of them. There are still quite a few more letters that we could send out, but we also don't want to overextend ourselves, and we want to see how this Brevard thing plays out a little bit. So.
One thing I also heard this week was that Greece, the town of Greece, New York itself, had said, "Hey, basically the same thing. We've got a secular, invocation under our belt now. We decide we've had enough of that, and we're also going to restrict it to people of faith-based communities," which seems out of concert with the ruling itself. But have you been in touch with any of the folks up there?
Yeah, that does seem just utterly bizarre. No, I haven't been in touch with anybody up there, so I can't speak to that any more directly than that. It seems just as bizarre to me as it does to you.
Yeah, this is going to be playing out for a while, and I think we're going to be seeing a lot of wackiness. If people want to keep up with the Central Florida Freethought community, where would I send them?
Well, we have a website, which is cflfreethought.org, and actually on that website you can see videos and transcripts of a number of secular invocations that have been given not only in Florida but around the United States. You can also find our Facebook page at CFL Freethought, and we're starting up our Twitter feed at CFL Freethought, so any of those.
It's been really neat looking at what CFL Freethought has been doing between the book distributions in high schools. Between getting a place where you can see all of the different secular invocations and get ideas for doing your own. It's been a real resource and surprising to some people that Florida is such a hotbed for this kind of activity. But we definitely appreciate your activism down there.
Joseph Richardson, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, no problem. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to catch up on some more current events and maybe check up on some emails.
Billy, I'm a certified ghost expert.
Wow, that's so credible.
Billy, your great-great-grandmother says she loves you and to give me your lunch money.
Aw, anything for family. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I know.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month, we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio vs. the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to AskAnAtheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to PayPal@AskAnAtheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist 206-420-0997. And, we've made some jokes now and again about Florida. I think it's a popular radio trope, but it's really nice. They got some really cool stuff going down with Central Florida Free Thought, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's some good stuff. And I totally forgot they were also the guys who did that the whole book deposit thing, or the whole book
distribution.
Yeah.
When you had the sort of Christian intervarsity Christian fellowship saying, hey, we're just giving out Bibles, we're not proselytizing. Yeah. Oh, you want to proselytize? You want to give out literature? Fine, we get to as well.
Yeah. Replace you know, Bible with heroin.
No, please.
And,
no.
And basically, no, and say that.
Oh, okay.
We're not dealing drugs. We're just giving out free samples of heroin.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Whatevs.
Dark, Sam.
Yeah. All right. But we'll be leaving Florida now and going all the way to India. Police in the southwest Indian state of Karnataka have warned that uploading, modifying, resending, and liking online content with an intention of hurting religious sentiments, knowingly or unknowingly, is a criminally punishable offense under the Information Technology Act and the Indian Penal Code. In June this year, Mumbai police had issued a similar warning to citizens directing them to not like objectionable posts on Facebook. Under an additional law originally meant to take bootleggers and copyright infringers into preventative custody, authorities may arrest individuals even before they commit IT Act offenses.
What's so ridiculous here, I don't know how you unknowingly like some content with the intention of hurting religious sentiments. Either you know it and intend it, or you don't know it and don't intend it. You can't unknowingly send something with an intention to hurt people.
Well, clearly the intention isn't the important thing here. It's whether someone else
is offended.
Yeah, it's don't hurt our feelings law, basically.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could write a script somehow to randomly like things.
Yeah, I suppose.
That could be fun.
Now you're giving me ideas, though.
Yeah.
That would
yeah.
be unintentional with the, or unknowingly, but with the intention of hurting people's feelings.
Yeah,
right.
Okay, all right, so it is possible, logically, I guess. But really, here's the thing. This thing was actually published in as a newspaper announcement and posted with flyers. I'm sure we'll put on AskAnAtheist.tv a few links to some of the photographs of those flyers.
You may.
Uploading, modifying, resending, basically doing anything online that could offend someone's religious sensibilities is an arrestable offense. Or, here's the thing, you get this minority report thing going on where they can arrest you before you even do it. I don't even understand how that works.
Well, it is a law about religious sensibilities. So psychically figuring out if somebody's about to break the law, clearly a possible thing.
There's no shortage of psychics and magic men in India either.
Right.
I mean, we know that. You have traveling magic men that go from village to village asking for contributions, or, you know, there's all sorts of things.
I'm sure there's some psychic yogis over there. So yeah, they could thought crime this stuff out.
I got my hand over the mouse and I'm on Facebook and I sneeze and accidentally like something. Now I'm going to jail.
Well, only going to jail in Karnataka State in India.
Right.
Or possibly Mumbai.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. And here's the thing, that India doesn't have a blasphemy law like Pakistan does.
Right.
But a lot of these really insidious laws of you can't offend religious sentiments or sensibilities are the ways that people sort of sneak in these blasphemy laws in places that you wouldn't ordinarily think of. I mean, India is, by all accounts, a democratic constitution, a fairly young country dedicated to pluralism. And here you go. You can pre-arrest someone for their Facebook post.
Right. Yeah, I have a talk I give on blasphemy laws around the world and blasphemy laws in the U.S., but I've kind of stopped giving it because I have to redo it because the world's pretty different than when I originally wrote it. You know, we got ISIS now. We get stuff like this. There's a lot more laws being passed about social media and what can and cannot be said about social media. And it's getting a little scary out there sometimes.
And what hasn't changed is that most of the laws in the European Union that are really, saying, oh, we want to live peacefully and not have hate speech,
right,
are in fact blasphemy laws. Laws against you blaspheming.
Speaking of blasphemy laws, we have an email. This is Tamil from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, who writes, I don't like the religion conference in India.
Okay.
All right. Well, first and foremost, Tamil, don't die. Please don't die.
Because
please be careful.
You have contacted us, an atheist website.
Whether or not you agree with us, it's kind of dangerous to even be talking about atheism in Saudi Arabia. Do you guys know what we're talking about, religion conference?
The religion conference in India. I did a little bit of Googling. There's lots of different conferences on the study of religions. Some of them are events, like a conference, like a weekend event or a week-long thing. Sometimes it's conferences, meaning like a group of people that are connected through a scholarly network. I honestly don't know to which conference in India he's referring.
Okay.
I probably wouldn't be a fan of it either. So.
Yeah, okay. But I'm guessing they wouldn't be fans of any religion conference I'd hold.
Hmm.
Yeah, it kind of goes either way, I
suppose. Sam, I've got an idea. You can hold your religion conference in India. You can create a Facebook event about it. And then stay...
And then have people like it.
...the heck away from Karnataka State.
All right, leaving India and going all the way back to Venice Beach. Are you guys ready for this one?
Oh, I'm so ready for this one, Sam.
I know Becky's been really wanting to talk about this one. Andrew Keegan, who starred in teen dramas Seventh Heaven and locally filmed 10 Things I Hate About You, has become the leader of a new spiritual movement in Venice Beach dubbed Full Circle. He is the head of an 8-member inner circle whose enlightened members give full ultimate authority to Keegan. The actor attributes his spiritual awakening to a mugging in 2011 that convinced coincided with the Japanese tsunami. His movement focuses on the vague concepts of synchronicity, advanced spiritualism, cosmic energy, and universal knowledge. A recent Sunday service reportedly involved meditation, love, and water crystals to aid in the Israel-Palestine conflict.
Water crystals, Sam?
Water crystals.
Water crystals.
Water crystals,
I'm
Becky.
Going to,
water crystals.
I'm
water
going to
crystals,
meditate.
Becky. Water crystals.
On the power of water crystals, on the synchronicity of the water crystals in order to end the conflict
in
Gaza.
You know, synchronicity was a pretty
good
album.
That's beautiful, man.
Water crystals.
Water crystals?
Becky. Becky.
Yes.
Water crystals.
Hey, Wes. Water crystals.
Water crystals?
Yes. When water crystals. Water is in its crystalline form.
There's another name for this water crystal stuff, right? Isn't there?
Ice.
Oh, right. Got it.
It can get pretty warm in Venice Beach, so, you know, maybe they needed some ice in their
It's so
water.
Warm. Ice is an unknown concept.
Yeah, I don't know.
So they have to call it water crystals.
Now, Wes, you and I were kind of looking at some of their publicity photos and things like that. prior
to the show.
He's
a very pretty man, you know? He's nice looking, nice.
He is. I will admit, I was a watcher of Seventh Heaven and 10 Things I Hate About
You.
And
get out!
Yes, which is teen dramas filled with very pretty people.
So is his church, apparently.
Don't call it a church. It's a community of artivists.
Don't call it a comeback.
Artivists.
I've been here for years.
No, so the thing is that it's not just the eight members, it's that he's got an eight member of his like highest enlightened circle, and then other people, I don't know how, per invite can come and like jazz with them. I don't know.
At least counting the people in the picture, there are, I think, 10 males, including him, and then a whole slew of very nice looking females. And I'm thinking it's just him and his best friends, or the inner circle, and then everybody else's ladies.
Okay.
Just kind of an odd thing that I noticed looking at the picture.
There are collectives of people that want to get together, have fun, commune with each other. I have nothing against that. I've had a few friends that are burners, you know, the Burning Man type movement and things like that. That sometimes gets a bad rap and gets a little bit, you know, vague and spiritually and cosmic energy. But this kind of thing, it's a new church. It's not a church. It's full circle. And literally, the kind of sound bites from interviews that Mr. Keegan has sound just like that. It's like energy, man. It's just the whole thing, full circle, the synchronicity of the tsunami and when I got mugged and it was terrible and awesome and everything all at the same time. Let's meditate.
That's sort of the ultimate in self-centeredness, isn't it, really? I mean, I got mugged when thousands of people lost their home, thousands of people died, when a nuclear reactor got in a lot of trouble. It's all about me, man. If I hadn't gotten mugged, there would have been no tsunami.
There would have been no full circle.
Yeah.
That is complete butterfly effect.
Yeah, no, wow. That's, I was in...
Butterflop effect.
I'll step aside and say, look, I know what they're talking about when they mean water crystals. I've heard of it before, back when I was in the New Age movement.
Still irks me that he named his giant talking parrot Krishna.
He named his giant talking parrot Krishna?
God, this gets better. Are we certain this isn't like just some sort of reality TV setup here?
I don't know. It would make for some really interesting reality TV, and they are attractive enough to be reality TV stars.
Every one of them.
Yes, they're very pretty, and they're all wearing white t-shirts
Y'all are creeping me out with all this talking about how they look thing.
Okay.
But yeah, it's the ultimate in self-centeredness. Is he suggesting that he caused the tsunami, or that the Earth was so mad that he got mugged that the tsunami happened? But this is endemic
He's saying that these are all linked events.
He also
that somehow this mugging and the tsunami are a linked event.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's the synchronicity.
At the same time, somebody won the lottery, does that mean the tsunami is related to this guy winning the lottery?
Would be full circle, Sam.
No, the full circle would be that somebody won a scratch ticket at the same time that somebody won the giant lottery.
Not sure.
Yeah.
I think these are like concentric
mugging,
circles.
Tsunami.
Yeah.
Well, scratch ticket, lottery.
Look, we all want to feel like we're a part of the world. We all want to feel like we're important and we're influencing events and things like that. But
one of his other quotes was, man, I was looking at a streetlight one time and it exploded. That was totally synchronicitous or something like
dude.
That. Yeah.
So this is Deepak Bropa then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't say that his second in command is named Third Eye.
Hey, that was a good album too.
Third
Synchronicity,
Eye Blind?
Third Eye.
I don't know.
No, it's a Tool album.
Okay. Well,
except on Tool.
I'm not sure. I don't see necessarily this movement spreading outside Venice Beach. In fact, I don't know how long it'll persist there because the structure that he is renting is currently, I think, up for auction. So we'll see whether Mr. Keegan's full circle has a circle together.
Well,
it's kind of cool, like a castle looking thing.
It is. It is a churchy castle type thing. Yes. Hey, if I had money to burn after being a teen idol,
that's how I would
maybe do. I'll rent a castle in California.
Castle in California. This is beginning to sound a little bit L. Ron Hubbard.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
But more groovy, dude.
So one more email. This is anonymous from South Africa. And they write, hello, everybody at Ask an Atheist. I listen to your podcast regularly and enjoy the show, but listening to your most recent cast, which was some time ago, you read an email from a South African that made me blush and cringe to be a South African. I deal with these types of people daily and could picture the type. There are a few intelligent and open-minded people here, but the majority are about as dim as an ember in a blizzard.
And Sam, do you recall which email this was from?
No, you're going to have to fill me in.
This was a gentleman who said, well, if you don't believe in God, then is love even real for you?
Oh, that. And yeah, okay.
That's painful.
Can atheists actually experience love? Can we experience the same things that religious people have, that religious believers have? Or, as we talked about earlier, does religion have a stronghold on feelings, relationships, sexual activity, life-defining moments? Yeah.
Well, I understand that there's a lot of people like that in South Africa, but
there's a lot of people like that everywhere.
You got to keep in mind, you're writing to folks in America. I mean, we regularly elect Dominionists to our government.
Who
I mean,
believe as much.
Yeah, who believe the same thing. And every time I talk to people from outside of the country about being an atheist or doing the radio show here, this radio show wouldn't really fly in a lot of places in Europe because it wouldn't be that interesting, to be honest.
Wouldn't be needed.
Yeah, and so you know, I go, oh yeah, I do a atheism related radio show in the United States, and they go, wow, how do you manage that and not, you know, get
hate
yelled
mail?
At or
yeah.
death threats or, I'm not saying I don't, but
well, and I know that some of our European listeners actually like listening to us to sort of see what the pulse is on the religious fervor of America.
Yeah.
Because for some people it's quite alien.
All I'm saying is just because there's a lot of weird people in a place, I mean, I'm not going to take this one email from one guy in South Africa and say all of South Africa is like this. We make those jokes about Florida, but let's be honest, we talked to somebody from Florida. There's a lot of good stuff happening in Florida. We should not judge people by their crazies, or we should not judge places solely by their crazies, I think.
Certainly. We love our Kentucky listeners, too.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some awesome people over there, though.
Yeah. Oh, I'm certain.
Yeah.
So, since we're talking about it, where is Post Show today?
Post Show is actually going to be at Doyle's Public House at 2nd and St. Helens Avenue.
Okay. Yeah, I like here in Washington, D.C., actually, we had the, you know, everybody thinks Seattle is kind of hip and groovy and stuff like that. But then here in Pierce County, it's very conservative, very religiously oriented.
In
Washington State, yeah. Anyway, that's all the time we've got for today. My name is Sam. With me was Becky and Wes. Our writers were Becky and Dave Brulette. Technical assistants were Sharon and Nick. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv. You can email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. You can leave us a voicemail 206-420-0997. See you guys next week.